This week on The Droids, we are talking the Bad Batch feature-length debut episode. We're also talking about a little giveaway we're doing. And Chris has some messages for you about stamps and the Postal Service. I don't know if it's Star Wars related. We didn't talk about it yet. All that and more this week on The Droids. Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris, I am Ryan. We're flying duo today.
Duo.
That's how we got our name. We said there's only two of us, and they said, Chris and Ryan, duo.
Duo. That's when we were about to enlist in the for the Empire, right?
that's exactly right, which we both famously have done.
Yeah, exactly.
We've tried to enlist for the Empire. Yeah. They told us that maybe we should watch the movies again. They think that we are missing something. And they also said this is the post office.
Right. Yeah.
So I wish that we could transition into, I guess we have to transition. I don't want to open with a stamps story. But speaking of the post office, you had a quick announcement.
I'm sure in the descriptions people will read that this is the most exciting podcast we've ever done.
That's right.
No, it's just worth mentioning, in case you missed it kind of thing, that the Star Wars stamps are out. If you've ever wanted to support your local post office, it's just worth mentioning the Star Wars stamps. A family member of mine sent me just like a picture. They were very excited to get the new Star Wars stamps, and I have not seen them all yet. So we got IG-11, you got R2-D2, K2SO. There's tons on there. Chopper, BB-8, a nice little Gonk droid.
So it's all droids.
Yes, and it's That's very cool. It's all droids. It's a set of all droids. So those are out now, I guess. You can go get them at your local post office. Support them. Worth a plug, I think. Good to get this up front. Now people can turn it off.
All right. And that'll do it for the Droid Chili.
There you go. L3, I do like... So they're forever stamps, so I really do like that it says, like, L337 forever. And then it says R2-D2 forever. So that's kind of fun.
There you go. So, yeah, that, you know, go out and support your local post office.
I mean, I think it's cool, too. It's the droids. You're listening to this podcast. You may have Googled one droids because you're interested
in it.
One
day maybe we'll be on stamps.
Yeah. Have you seen these people?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like for us to warrant being on stamps, something historically terrible would have to happen.
Yeah, exactly. They put them on stamps for stealing so many copyrights.
So, as always, if you're a big stamps head or a droids head, follow us everywhere at DroidsPod, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Watch Ryan's playthrough of Jedi Fallen Order.
Oh, I like the third person.
TikTok, things are happening.
Oh, yeah.
We hope that you enjoyed. We released it as a podcast, but also we did a live stream for May the 4th.
Yeah.
And we watched Return of the Jedi, and we had a great time.
A lot of fun.
So we recommend. This is releasing on May the 14th, so May the 14th be with your team.
Yeah, kind of the 10-day anniversary. We'll do this every
exactly
10 days.
Right.
We'll do this every 10 days.
That's right. And, Chris, we announced a little bit of a giveaway.
Yes,
that day.
That's right.
In case you missed it, you want to recap for the peoples?
Hey, you know me. I like my Lego. Not Legos. But when you say Lego Star Wars, it sounds like you say Legos. We talk about Lego a lot on the podcast, particularly Star Wars Lego. There's a familiar relationship between the two. Some people can't think of Lego without Star Wars. So what we're doing in honor of that, in honor of May the 4th, is there is a very hard to find Lego R2-D2 that's just been released. It's kind of like a scale model. Now, I'm not good with this kind of stuff, so I'm going to say it's a 100 times scale. it's not 100. Scale. It's smaller than that. It can fit on a desk or a shelf, but it is a Lego R2-D2, and what the droids want to do is give it away. But how can you just give something away? Wait, what are you going to give us, your credit card? Maybe. No, don't do that. Don't send us your credit card. We want to give it away, and here's how. If you leave a podcast review on Apple Podcasts, we'll choose one review for the month of May, and we'll randomly hand out this Lego R2-D2 set.
We're not going to pick a winner and then randomly hand it to someone on the street.
As I was saying that, the logic wasn't there. Yeah. We're going to take all the reviews, round them up, get a randomizer, maybe use one of our droids, similar to the ones they use in the High Republic, to do those high-end calculations. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to pick one at random, and they will be the winner of a brand new, unopened Lego R2-D2 set. Take a look. Go to eBay. Search it. You'll see how much it's worth. We want to do that to celebrate our listeners and Star Wars May the 4th. It's like our Star Wars celebration month. So no purchase necessary. You have to be 18 or older, unfortunately, due to shipping. U.S. residents only. Please listen and listen for your review to be called. We'll figure out how to get in contact with you. Or if you do leave a review, shoot us an email, droidspod@gmail.com, or visit our website, a shiny new website featuring some artwork by the droid's own Sam there, droidspod.com. So I hope that made sense. I think I followed.
Yeah. I mean, you followed? Knew the story already, yeah. But I followed it.
Yeah, good.
And I think I love that it sounded very professional. It must be 18 or older to apply.
Yes.
No U.S. residents only. That, yeah. And again, like Chris said, it's because we're so bankrupt from purchasing the R2-D2 Lego we don't want to exclude any of our international listeners. It's just that the shipping can get a little dicey.
It's either do another episode or ship. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So please be patient with us. Hopefully we can do an international contest one day. We also don't want to be we have a lot of offshore accounts, and we don't want to flag anything from the IRS.
This whole thing's just kind of a tax scheme anyhow, so.
That's exactly right. We're trading in Lego. Chris, I thought that was beautifully done.
Well, thank you.
There you go.
Trying to uphold the high bar set by Sam and
you,
Mike.
Speaking of high bars, you mentioned the High Republic and all the droids. Ooh. Just so you know, everybody, our read-through is still going on. You're in the heat of it right now.
Yeah.
It's that we want to give everybody time to read. It takes people a long time to read. We, of course, all finished the book months ago. But for our listeners, you have busy lives. We don't want to rush it. And it's like, listen, are there some really great podcasts out there like Sky Talkers that read it in a day and did a very concise, good episode about it? Sure. Are we one of those podcasts? No.
No. I didn't even read half of it.
Listen, you.
Listen to it.
Listen, you. Sometimes you want a concise episode done really well by the Sky Talkers podcast, and sometimes you want it dragged out for almost half a year by the Droids Pod. And you don't have to choose; you could have both.
And that's what you get with this Patreon content that we're offering. Wait, this is not this is not Patreon content. This is the live feed.
And in case there's any, ambiguity here, I highly recommend the Sky Talkers podcast. Yes. Very good.
Yes.
Very big that fan.
Official tip of the cat always to the Sky Talkers for sure.
Until one day they notice us.
Yeah, exactly. Open invite. You're always welcome to come on the pod as well.
Some could say that we're begging for their audience to join us.
please.
it's not like they've expressed interest to come on and we're like, yeah, we'll see. Maybe we'd love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so moving into Chris, the Bad Batch, we have a new Star Wars television series.
I know. I felt like the fury of May the 4th, there was so much happening that this got a little overshadowed for me, but then...
It was overshadowed by our live stream, I think, generally.
Exactly. I feel like George Lucas watched our live stream instead of the Bad Batch.
Yes. And so we got caught up, obviously. The premiere episode was 72 minutes long, which is awesome. Now, going into this, Chris, what was your excitement level or lack thereof? Anything? How were you feeling about the Bad Batch going in?
So I think we talked about it earlier on the pod. I was excited about it, but I felt at the time like it was kind of the area of the Clone Wars that was more focused on the war part.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was...
And the clones.
Yeah, exactly. I felt... that it was kind of that area where it's like, all right, there's battles, there's things like that happened throughout the Clone Wars, and they wanted to focus on kind of that realm. And it's kind of how the Clone Wars started. I mean, if we watch those original hand-drawn animations, they were a lot about the battles and that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. I thought it might be a little return to form in that regard. So I wasn't, like, super excited, but obviously, having finished the Clone Wars recently, I was pretty excited to get into it.
Well, so I pretty much was the same. When they announced the Bad Batch, I thought, like, okay, that's cool. Like, I like Star Wars. I wasn't familiar with the characters yet. And it was one of those things where when new Star Wars things come out, I tend to get more excited about Jedi-related things. It's just kind of where I fall in the Star Wars canon. It's just, you know, it's some people like wizards, some people like ninjas. I like Jedi a lot. But when I watched the last season of the Clone Wars, when they introduced the Bad Batch in, yes, like the first arc, I think it was the first four episodes or something, the characters were really well drawn and really interesting and fun, and that got me excited for it. And then I kind of forgot about it, you know, in the yeah. in the Mandalorian was going on, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I was stoked. It kind of snuck up on me that this was coming out. And I got to say, we have to acknowledge first, too, there is a bit of, I don't even want to say controversy because I don't want to minimize it like that. People have pointed out that there is whitewashing present in the show. Mm-hmm. Tamora Morrison, who is the, you know, the template for all of the clones, he played Jango Fett. In the live action series and then in the live action movies and, you know, The Mandalorian, you all know him. So he's of Maori descent. And in Clone Wars, the clones are generally not, I mean, they're all the same. They're clones, but they're not designed as white people. They are people of color in the show. And in this, there people did notice there seems to be a bit of a lightening, which is a bummer. And then Omega, who we'll get into this, and we should say there's going to be spoilers here. Spoilers. Omega, who is another clone, who has like all of the clones in the Bad Batch, she has modifications. She's a female clone, and she looks very Caucasian.
Right.
And then on top of that, we see Caleb Dune, who later we know is Kanan from Rebels. He's drawn as very white as well, and there's... This is all, okay, so this is all unfortunate at best.
Yes.
Like that, so like, it's an unfortunate faux pas at best. It's like, more likely, like a hugely neglectful, like, and oblivious thing for them to do, but it's certainly, yeah, is a hostile act to whitewash a character.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's definitely worth, absolutely worth denoting and kind of mentioning that this is an aspect of pop culture and of how kind of media is produced and things like that. So, I mean, it happens everywhere. And I think that's one aspect. And I appreciate you pointing that out, kind of like, I think you told me kind of early on when we were just chatting through it through text that this was kind of happening. And I Googled and you could see the Star Wars community. There's active discussion on it and all that stuff. So I think that it's definitely something important to point out for sure.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, obviously we're not necessarily like the people who are like
right.
the right choice because it's easy for us also growing up. Like I said, that like a lot of the unfortunate aspect of white characters being the default a lot,
mm-hmm.
or characters defaulting to whiteness, makes, and us growing up as like white men, is that it may be easy for us to overlook,
right?
Because it's not something that we have the privilege of not having to think about it,
right?
So it's important.
Case in point, right here. Yes, I wasn't thinking about it from that lens, and then as you see it, then it's kind of clear. So I do think right. It's important to call out.
So yeah, so I'm very grateful to the people who called it out. I think that they're probably going to do something to address this. There's also the matter of the person who voices all the clones is a white actor, and that's another thing that it's like he was cast, when the Clone Wars original Clone Wars series began, and mm-hmm. that doesn't make it okay. It's just that
it's
It was even though it wasn't that long ago, it was still like a time where they could get like away with that.
Right.
Yeah. And now it's like what a pickle, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And needless to say, whatever happened behind the scenes, they really stepped in it and they should fix yeah, it.
Absolutely.
You know, one way or another. Like, it's, you know, whether that means that they like re-render the episodes or they do some design changes moving forward to, you know, to correct this, I hope that they do. And yeah, so but moving forward, we'll be talking about the quality of the episode and things that we like. We just wanted to address that. So I suppose insensitively moving forward, as an episode or a small movie at this point,
yeah,
I was very compelled by it. The first thing I thought was, man, they're really getting their mileage out of Order 66, but
yes,
it's such a, in terms of the universe of Star Wars, it's such a universe altering, it is the inciting incident of like the whole thing.
Right.
And so it's rightful that so many stories would be surrounding it.
Yes. And I'm happy that there's now kind of this, a bit of an embrace around Order 66, where I feel
yes,
like it was always something that was overlooked in the Star Wars story. And I kind of go back and forth with this because there is something to not like just kind of talking about it and not showing it.
Yeah.
Like before the dark times, like before the Empire, that kind of thing. Because that is kind of the cathartic shift of Republic to Empire. And so there was something where it's like it wasn't revealed what it was, but I'm like, I'm ready for it now. I want to know these little details. And I feel like we saw in Revenge of the Sith that first 90% of all of this, and now it's like this last 10% of kind of the Jedi of how, what are these little stories of the really strong Jedi and the hidden Jedi like making it through.
And all of that stuff is so great, and I think that the stuff, Filoni is not the exclusive showrunner on this, but all of the stuff he's kind of done with his universe has enriched, there's such an enriching happening to that part of the lore. Now, like when we talked about, and if you could go back and listen to our Revenge of the Sith episode, I think that the Order 66 sequence is incredibly powerful on its own. You know,
yes,
within the context of that movie, especially if you know, if you're a fan of Star Wars, you know what all of this means. There is this very, so much weight to it,
yes,
in terms of like, this is the moment everything changed. This is like when it happened.
You learn so much in that moment too.
Yeah. And it's really well done just within the context of that. And so I'm thankful that, and here are some slight spoilers for Clone Wars, the end of Clone Wars, which you've finished. Yes.
Yes.
So, when I saw the last four episodes of Clone Wars, I was like, being someone who thought Order 66 was already a haunting, massive event in the Star Wars universe that was very emotional, I was like, this is unbelievable, the amount of emotional weight that this is being given. And I was so thankful for it, because I was like, something that I thought was already emotional has now
yeah,
been deepened so much.
Right.
And I am also a person who is a really big fan of stories and the parts of stories that take place on the verge of catastrophe.
Yes.
You know, there's like a storm brewing and you see it coming. That is like the most exciting part of it.
It's the ultimate in media res. You're starting.
Yeah.
It's
but
great.
It's like, even like in the Harry Potter movies, the part of it that's the most exciting to me is like in the eighth movie when they're
yeah,
like preparing the castle.
Yes.
And it's just like, it's all led to this and now we're here.
Yep.
And like, so it's kind of like watching a world on the verge of apocalypse, which we may be doing in real life right now.
Yes. Wait a second.
But, and this gives us even more of that, because we know we're so familiar with Order 66 that the opening, you hear it and you're like, oh my God, that's where we are. Like that, and it's the definition of dramatic irony. We know more than the characters do.
Right.
We
exactly
know what's about to happen.
I mean, that's kind of the one of the kind of the, I always used to kind of rag on the prequels for that fact, but I feel like it's kind of one of the brilliant aspects is that it immediately creates irony and like dramatic tension.
Yeah.
Because you know what happens and you know their decisions are not based on what we know is going to happen. So it makes a lot of tension. It makes a lot of drama, which I think, yeah. And then to learn more about these moments, to do it in this animated show too is really cool. Like it's I feel cool. Like,
and so it opens with the, you know, the clones are in a battle with a few Jedi and the Bad Batch shows up. It's a very like, they're sending reinforcements. How many? 5, like that kind of thing. And they're like, that's all we need. And the Bad Batch gets into their shenanigans. Order 66 is implemented. And the clone troopers start attacking Jedi. One of which is a Padawan named Caleb Doom, who ends up being Kanan. Now, I am not... I'm working my way through Rebels right now. I love it very much. I haven't gotten there.
Yes.
But people who have watched Rebels had a very emotional response to this because this is a moment that is referenced a lot.
Yes. For him. He talks a lot about it in the show, and it's also just kind of he's got a real chip on his shoulder throughout Rebels and obviously not giving too much away for you, but yeah, this is a pivotal moment that forms his character.
Right. And that was a cool thing for them to show.
Yeah.
I thought that was really rad.
Yeah. That's kind of the opportunity that the Order 66 lends itself to. It's like there could be many of these little stories all over the galaxy.
Well, yeah, because if you look at it within episode 3, it's like even then they're jumping around the galaxy to show where everybody is. So it's if you could just expand those, you know, you have the Twi'lek that falls really badly. You have Plo Koon who meets his demise
I'm impressed.
Yeah. So there's all that. And then there's a lot of what's interesting is that we're now seeing Order 66 kind of within the ranks.
Yes.
Because the Bad Batch don't have the implants that the rest of the clones do that they expand upon in Clone Wars.
It kind of enforces their term, the Bad Batch.
Exactly.
They're not the ones that have been placed
because they're genetically altered. Yeah.
Yes.
They don't have it. And there's a lot of what I thought was cool. There's a lot of like, just kind of esoteric, them sitting in rooms talking about the nature of being a clone.
Yes.
And the nature of free will.
It was a little wild to see that the episode started very strong, action oriented. And then it kind of like leveled out into this kind of, like you said, it became very esoteric. I really like that kind of sci-fi too, where you see the protagonists live amongst the threat. Like
yes.
There's very specific examples where it's like I think Star Trek, Star Trek First Contact does this, where it's like the Borg invade the Enterprise, but the Enterprise is so big they kind of just like they're just driving the ship, but they're still like have an invasion going on in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just like, we just can't go over to that side of the ship. And I feel like good sci-fi does this, where it's like you're so close to the threat, but it's like there's an understanding phase that's happening. And I feel like the Bad Batch being put back into their base, which takes place on Kamino.
Yeah, they have like their little room where they're like, I don't know if we should tell them that like we're not doing this.
Yeah, exactly. Except one of them kind of has a little. He must have a little bit of the gene in him or something.
Well, what I thought was interesting, it's Crosshair, right? Which is the sniper. And what I think is interesting is that he doesn't have the implant, and this is where I think things get really interesting from like a philosophical standpoint, is that he doesn't have the implant. He's working on free will the same way all of the rest of the Bad Batch is. He just has a difference of ideology.
Right.
Where he's bought in more to the conformity of being a clone trooper.
He's trying to follow the order and
he thinks that it's their duty to follow the order, and they all are more conflicted about it, which gives them all just by having that counterpoint, which obviously I don't agree with. I don't agree with Crosshair, but it gives them all a richer interiority.
Yeah,
because it's implying that they're all kind of struggling with this idea.
I will be honest, I was not expecting this from the Bad Batch.
Same. And by the end of this, I mean, spoilers for the episode, by the end of this, they've kind of like split up with, like, someone at the end is like, where's Crosshair? And they're like, he's not really with us anymore.
he's, yeah.
Um,
I,
Yeah, good.
I was gonna say, yeah, no, I think this idea of almost the Clone Wars has ended. Like, it's interesting that this is even called part of the Clone Wars series, because it's almost like its own
little... Well, they do that cool burn through at the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's its own... Because even the season that was released last year, that didn't focus completely on the Bad Batch. They were part of it, but it wasn't always their story.
Yeah, no, they were looking for... Weren't they looking for Echo?
Yes, exactly. So yeah, it kind of set
now
up...
in the Bad Batch.
It kind of set up the series. So I do love that the Clone Wars has kind of died down, and then we get to go back to Kamino, which is super cool we know so little about these people that have, or these what are they called? Kamino.
They refer to them as something, and I literally said out loud, I was like, really? It's like Kamioans or something like that.
I was trying to figure. I was trying to remember. So, but they are such a pivotal part in the story of things, because they're almost like this kind of like, and they talk. They do this in Last Jedi a little bit, where there's kind of these non-faction siding things, but they have a resource that they can give either side, so they don't. They're never under threat of Empire rule, or you know what I mean. Like they can, they basically can pay their way out of what they have to do. And so I was excited to see more of Kamino.
Agreed. I thought that was some of the most interesting stuff. And it's there that we meet Omega, who, when we first meet her, she's just a little girl who's kind of with the on Kamino. And it's like strange. Like, they're just like, who is this?
Yeah.
Like, why is she why is she like a little helper of the Kamino?
Right. And she's kind of just doing whatever she wants.
Yeah, and then they eventually find out that she is a quote-unquote defective clone, the way that they're all defective, where it's just she is just not the same as the other clones. She ended up being a female. So they kind of, you know, I mean, it's a classic kind of like they are at first they're like, get out of here, kid.
Right.
And then by the end, they're like, we got to go save her.
Yes.
And... Sorry, I'm reading here, and I may have missed this, that... So, Grand Admiral Tarkin, later a Moth, a Grand Moth...
Yeah.
...gets involved, and that's when he sends the Bad Batch to go pick up rebels, essentially. And then they find out that they meet up with Saw Gerrera.
Right.
He says there's, like, rebels, and then Saw Gerrera basically is like, people don't want to... Like, the Empire's evil. Like, this is not... what we want to do, and they kind of see that point of view. And then they it says here Tarkin has Crosshair's inhibitor chip enhanced, turning him against his squad mates.
Oh, interesting.
So that's something that I missed. But before that, even he was having that's interesting. I'm interested to see where that goes.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, if I guess part of it probably is like, if it's against his own free will, then there's a little bit, it makes the, I think just from the caveat of this is a children's show.
Yeah, it's a little easier, but it's not as interesting.
It's not as interesting for us adults, but it does make kind of turning that dial back easier for a lot of people to understand.
Yeah. So he turns against the squad mates, and then they kind of run away with Omega. Now Omega's kind of like a part of the Bad Batch. That's kind of the thing in a nutshell.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, this got me really excited for the rest of the series. And this being a series that I was just like, you know, oh yeah, it'll be fun. Like, I think it's... I don't know, like, what I keep expecting. You know what I mean? Every time they put out something like this, it's amazing.
I know. The quality standard is like still there. For some reason in my mind, I don't know, with the animated series, and I think just because they weren't on my radar when they were being released, I always like, I'm excited for them, but I'm never like excited like a movie or something like that. But then I go back and watch them, and I'm like, I feel like we text each other like, this is the best thing.
I have the same exact reaction, and then every time I watch it, I'm like, this is the best Star Wars storytelling that's happening.
Yeah, exactly. So I should
and I'm
just
saying
be
that as a person
up.
Who loved who aside from The Rise of Skywalker, really like the sequel trilogy. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
But it is, like you said, like, I'm like, this is exactly how I want Star Wars to be. This is what my dream... And this is, like, the epitome of the extended universe.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, yeah, like... And I understand it's not the extended universe at this point. And I'm not trying to marginalize it that way. It's just, like... I'm like, yeah, this is exactly what... It the best of what the extended universe felt like, where it's just, like,
yeah,
there's this huge world with so much possibility and so many different things. This, yep, is exactly the promise of that.
Yeah.
On the highest level.
And just, like, on a, like, a sci-fi level, too. They're starting to tell the kind of tales that reflect current society's morality and technology and things like that, and like where it can go. So it's like, it's cool to see new sci-fi written, you know, rather, yeah, than kind of meddling in the same things that we've done for so long. So I think Star Wars always has that aspect, as well as like the mythological as well as the scientific, which is cool. So it's like, obviously, that's why Star Wars works so well. It's because
it's
double genre.
Yeah, and it's like, these are unfortunately universal things. And after the last, you know, 4 years, it's, yeah, like the idea Order 66 seems even more like the idea, yeah, of a hostile takeover of a government that like activates people.
It becomes, yes, it's kind of this timeless thing now. Like, hey, you know what? Maybe there's going to be a generation of people that have watched this that are like, I know what's going on. I'm wise to this.
Yeah. So, So I just thought, I think it's really promising. Again, it's these animated shows are like, they're doing the Lord's work when it comes to Star Wars storytelling. And I can't,
yeah,
again, once I saw the Order 66 thing, I don't even want to say a sucker because it's always so well done. Yeah. I'm really a fan of things happening of stories told around that event.
Yeah.
And no, after, cool. After the finale, those, I cannot like get over those last four episodes of
Clone Wars. Oh yeah. The run of that is just phenomenal. And then the note that it ends on though, is just like, if for our fellow co-host, I won't, yeah, spoil, but yeah, the ending note it ends on is very powerful, and it's kind of like, yeah, we need this in Star Wars. I think it's good. Yeah. I'm optimistic about this. I wonder though, with the clones, there's obviously a strong connection to Jango Fett, and then therefore, yep, Boba Fett. I wonder if there's going to be some kind of tie-in with Boba eventually, and that kind of, are they going to try to stitch this into the television shows? I often wonder.
That's interesting. I guess, I mean,
at this, or are point, they going to leave it alone and kind of just let it fill in with Rebels?
I mean, that's a good question. I'm trying to think. I mean, so Boba's in Clone Wars a lot.
Right.
And then I'm wondering if, I guess he's supposed to be a teenager at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up.
Yeah. Like that was kind of my first thought, especially when we saw like young Caleb Kane, and like, it was kind of like, will we see a Boba? Will they know each other? Will there be a kind of a cross there? And could it explain why Boba Fett has a kind of disdain for the Jedi and all that stuff?
Yeah. All I can say is like, what a rich mythology they've grown between, you know, episode 3 and 4 at this point.
For sure. Yeah.
And especially between episode 2 and 4.
Yeah.
You know, cause the Clone Wars is mostly between 2 and 3, but, yeah, I mean, so
do you think we'll ever hit a point where it's just like, it's all covered?
Yeah. Where there's just like, there's nothing else.
They can't, like, there's no more stories to tell.
Every moment is filled.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Same.
So the showrunners on this are the people, Jennifer Corbett, I believe, is the showrunner, and Dave Filoni wrote the first episode with her. So, I mean, they're doing, as always, the Lucasfilm Animated Division is doing great work.
Yes.
And it feels uncompromised. You know, it just feels like we're telling the story. It feels like they could take risks. They could play with the lore. They could do whatever they want.
Yeah. And I mean, they're taking care of it, but they're also moving it forward. I think that is, it's kind of, in some way, the Clone Wars has kind of become this, like, binding glue between the past generation of Star Wars and the new generation of Star Wars. I feel like it became the torchbearer, and I don't know if Disney really realized that early on. I think they initially tried to shy away from that era of Star Wars, and now I feel like, based on fan response and stuff, they're embracing it a little more, which I think is good. And obviously now that Filoni is kind of the guy they keep pointing to, I think we'll see more of it in the future.
And I think if they had made the sequel trilogy now, after the release of a few, you know, the final season of Clone Wars and this and The Mandalorian, after seeing what reactions were, although I have my you know, the end of The Mandalorian, I have my things, but I think the sequel trilogy would have been a little different, in as much as they wouldn't have tried to create it in a bubble from all this stuff.
Yes, I think this would have, I think we would have got probably a lot more nods to it, if not actual characters from it. Or
I think Ahsoka would have been in it.
Yes, I agree. I still think there is a possibility that we will see a parallel trilogy, not a addition that's an alternate timeline, but I feel like we're going to see an alternate parallel version of the story that's happening in a different realm.
Yes, I think that there will be a lot of things that take place during, honestly, if the Clone Wars television show gave a little more legitimacy to the prequels for people who thought that they needed that, not that I'm one of those people, as you know, I think that an animated show of that caliber could do the same for the sequel trilogy. Do you know what I'm saying?
I agree.
You know, I know that the comics are doing a lot of lifting with that, and I do want to dive into that stuff. If only I had a year or something where I just had to, like, stay inside and
ingest media. A friend of mine mentioned the comics just the other day, and I'm just like, why haven't I read those? Like,
I think an animated series, you know, where they're getting into, you know, Palpatine making clones and making Snokes and all of these these Sith apostles, Sith disciples. It's like, I didn't like that stuff in Rise of Skywalker, but it's not like inherently, you know, the idea of a bunch of Sith worshippers who like hang out in a dark temple isn't, you know, that's not uncompelling.
They can make it interesting. All goes back to that sci-fi aspect of things too, where it's like, that's an element of sci-fi where just you can embrace. And I feel like they tried to do it with Star Wars. Oh my gosh, why can't I remember the name of the show? The other animated series.
Clone Wars? Rebels?
No. The one no one watched.
Resistance.
Resistance. Okay. Quote unquote, no one watched. If you watched it, great. I watched as well, and I really enjoyed it. I feel like they tried to move it forward, and everybody's like, nah. Just give us back the Clone Wars.
Yeah, it was tough, because that was, like, so tangential. You know, like, it was like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I do think you have... I think when there's literally no Jedi involved, it's a problem.
Yeah.
For people. I think it's tough, because it's, like, it needs to tie into mainline somehow, and I understand Poe was there, but it's, like...
Give us...
I think Resistance did have a little bit of that issue.
Give us something.
Where it was like, this, if you took this out, it wouldn't, I mean, maybe, I don't know, I didn't watch enough of it, but it's like, now if you took Clone Wars out of the prequel trilogy, I'd be like, we're really missing something here.
Yeah, I agree.
And I loved the prequel trilogy as it was.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, I think we did it here.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was kind of a good kickoff to the Bad Batch. We won't be probably doing episode by episode. I know each droid head is in a different place with the Clone Wars.
Yeah, we'll probably end up doing a season kind of recap.
Which I think is good.
But this one, I mean, it was essentially a Star Wars feature release. So
yeah. It felt like... you know what I haven't revisited in a while is the Clone Wars movie. I need to go back and do that.
I watched it recently, and it's not bad. It's just like, it's not... It's a good, like rough draft.
Yeah.
You know, like, a lot of, even, like, the animation isn't quite there yet.
Sure.
But it's, like, it's certainly, you know, it's, like, a fine episode, a fine few episodes of the show.
Yeah.
All right. But, yeah, you know. And, I think that's it. So
I think that's it. Hey, well, leave a review.
Get your stamps.
Get your stamps. Leave a review. If you leave a review, you know what that means. You're entered in automatically for a chance to win that Lego R2-D2. It's very hard to find. Look it up online. Go to Lego.com. We have no affiliation with Lego.com. Unless they want to, like I said before. Anyone's welcome on the pod. yeah, please leave a review, and we will choose one review at random for the month of May. To win that Lego R2-D2 set. So hopefully we start to see thousands of reviews flow in.
Yeah. I mean, it's our best. It's our best giveaway. Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably the most, other than Sam's artwork, monetarily.
Which is irreplaceable.
Well, irreplaceable. So there's no value in that. But value-wise, it was a pretty good giveaway. Yeah, do that. You can find out more on our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all at DroidsPod, and then visit DroidsPod.com for all the latest details. And I think that's it, Ryan. I think we did it.
Well, and that'll do it. The Han duo. That'll do it. For the droids you're looking for, a Star Wars podcast.
What they throw? Han Solo.
Was that?
That was Maz.
That was Maz Kanata.
Yeah.
I like that Wookiee.
We could. Get...
Where's my boyfriend?
I meant to say Han Duo, and I messed it up.
But you just went. You got.
I just said the line for the movie. Annie.